Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27. Now we're going to elaborate on this, but for now, let's just read the text that gives the main thrust of what we want to deal with. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We know we live in a world that is so full of things that could bring sorrow and heartache. And even in our own lives, it's sometimes difficult to have a smile on our face. But we're thankful, Father, for the word that Jesus spoke here. And we pray, Father, you would help us to not only be a light in this world, but by your grace and using us as instruments in your hands, we may brighten somebody's day because we tell them the good news that's found in Jesus Christ. And we would tell them not only with things that we say, but the things that we do and the way that we carry ourselves. Help us, Father, to break bad habits. The Lord be an all-out testimony of your saving grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, you would help us in a day in which we are so caricatured and painted as being troublemakers. And it's awful hard for them to say such things and for people to believe such things when we are telling people to be of good cheer. We pray, Father, that you would help us to not take this out of context, but, Lord, that we would live a life in which shows forth that of all the people on the earth, we are not the most miserable. We're the most cheerful because we have eternal life. We pray, God, you would help us in this and that we may do it in a fashion in which it's not a put-on, it's not just show, but it's for real. We ask now, Father, you would bless in the salvation of sinners that they may know what this means. To be of good cheer. We ask these things now in the name of the joy of all of the ages, our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't recommending that we eat a bowl of Cheerios, and that's how we're going to have good cheer. But he's simply saying something much greater than that. It's not some kind of mantra that's sung by some entertainer like, don't worry, be happy. It's something much deeper than just that. This is the loving, sovereign Creator and Savior Jesus Christ, who spoke like no other man spake with authority, because he is God the Son. Not some entertainer, but God Himself, our Creator and Savior. Now, there is a song that people sing this time of year. We wish you a merry, you know the rest, right? And one of the things that they say in that song is, good tidings we bring to you of good cheer. Now, this is often said in the context of glasses of champagne or whatever, clinking, and what do they say? Cheers. But it gives anything but cheers, especially after it's all said and done. And it certainly isn't any cheer that lasts for anything length of time. Instead, it's not so good. You know, I think about the word good cheer. You know that phrase, good cheer. Is there such a thing as bad cheer? I don't know. I mean, I guess the only way I could think of there being bad cheer is you have some bully laughing about tripping a blind man. That's bad cheer. It's inexcusable. It's worse than wicked. I would say that's bad cheer. And in a certain sense, we could say, in this time of year, good cheer from God's perspective cannot be derived from celebrating Xmas. It can't happen. Because Christ isn't really in it at all. You think about the greater number of suicides during this time of year, the greater amount of drunkenness and marital infidelity, and the indebtedness and the road rage with all the traffic and so forth, and all, you know, the fighting over material things and the masses of people fighting over things because they want it, because they think they deserve it, and people even been trampled to death over the love of things. And there's, we have that more during this time of year than any other time of year. We have more lies said. Oh yeah, we you know, our this is the best thing. This is what you want to have, and this will give you the greatest joy and satisfaction and so forth. And they do their advertisements and so on and so forth, and they talk about Santa Claus and they talk about all these other things. This is a month in which there is more lies that are spread than any other time. So, how can I say this is a time of good cheer? I really can't. I really can't do that. Now, that being said, I cannot allow other people's sin to cause me to be sour-faced and stone-faced. We can have good cheer and should have good cheer no matter what. Now, understand, I know there's a season for everything under the heavens, as Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3, but also know what Paul said, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. So, that brings glory to God. When you're misunderstood, and yet you can still have good cheer. Because that, what does that do? It brings glory to God in the sense that it obliterates their false accusations that we're a bunch of cranky, grumpy, stingy Scrooges because we don't participate in the festivities that the world participates in. When they say, well, but they're happy. They're of good cheer. And they have a hard time computing that and understanding that. And that may very well be an opportunity. You know, just think about it. When are we more approachable? When we are screaming and ranting and raving and all that kind of stuff, or getting angry at people about what they're doing, or when we have compassion and love and a smile on, but we're of good cheer. In what scenario are we going to have a greater probability of making inroads into the hearts of other people? And that's what I want us to have the attitude of. And if indeed we do go out there during that parade, I'm not necessarily going to address that. Their biggest need is Jesus Christ. Their biggest need is to have good cheer that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can have real cheer, real good cheer, without all that stuff that the world says we need. We can have good cheer in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. What Jesus is speaking of is a for real cheer. Good cheer that doesn't have the bad side effects that the world has. They got the hangovers. They got the broken homes and broken lives. And when it all is said and done, eternal damnation. The good cheer that Jesus gives has only good side effects. Not only does it have good side effects, but it has good front effects and good back effects. In other words, you've got good all-around effects through Jesus Christ and His gospel. The message that Jesus is giving is to His disciples, and it's meant to put a smile on their face. Notice there in Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. So that's my intention in this message, that I want to put a smile on your face as we look at what the Scriptures say about this subject of be of good cheer. Now, I was looking at that word, and as sometimes I do, I look and see, what does the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever say about this? It's interesting that the English words, be of good cheer, is only one Greek word. And sometimes that Greek has lots of deep meaning. In this case, that's the case. That word, tharseo, it means obviously to be of good cheer, but it also means to be of good comfort, and it also means to be of good courage. Good cheer, good comfort, good courage. Kind of goes together, doesn't it? Can you be discouraged and be of good cheer? Not really. Can you be full of sorrow, not comforted, and still be of good cheer? You can't. It all goes together. It's that same principle I mentioned quite often. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It ties all into that. The strength and courage that joy and cheer automatically gives, as opposed to the soul debilitating weakness and discouragement that sin and sorrow give. So I want to look at three things. Actually, this phrase that we find here, as far as Jesus' ministry while He walked upon this earth, He says this be of good cheer on three separate occasions. Three separate. Okay, now I know there's some gospel writings that deal with the same one. But on three separate occasions, He uses that same phrase, be of good cheer. The first thing I want us to look at is be of good cheer in salvation. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 2, we see that. And it says, and behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Being of good cheer and being saved, I mean, that the source of our sorrow and the source of our misery can be traced right back to our sin. And so the first thing, this first order of business that has to be taken care of is the sin that we all have. And until that is dealt with, we cannot expect to be a recipient of that good cheer that Jesus speaks of here in our text. Until we come to terms and come to grips with that, we'll never know this good cheer that Jesus is speaking of. I'm not talking about the good cheer the world's talking about. I'm talking about the good cheer that Jesus gives. And it's interesting, we find that in Mark chapter 2 and verse 3 through 5, it says, and they come unto Him. The other reference, Luke talks about it as well. They come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So we see that It's interesting as we look at this, that this man apparently wanted to go and see Jesus. He wanted to be of good cheer. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be of good cheer. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it at all. What's wrong is somebody wants to be in a bad mood. I mean, I don't get that. Sometimes we don't want to. We're just kind of caught up in it, and we're having a hard time struggling out of it for whatever reason. But there's nothing wrong with someone wanting to be in of good cheer, wanting to feel good. Nothing wrong with that at all. I don't fault anybody for anything like that. And this man wanted to be of good cheer. And it's interesting, he went, and of course his friends were willing to take him, but it's interesting that I gather from the fact that Jesus said to this man, "Son, be of good cheer." Why would Jesus say that on the very first thing that he says? Why does he say that? Because he perceived that he was depressed. He was sad. He was filled with sorrow. And the interesting thing is, the first thing Jesus said was not, "Thy palsy be removed from thee, thy sins be forgiven thee." That's the first thing he said. And I believe that's a sorrow that this man knew to some degree, that his sorrow was the result of his sin. And Jesus looked into his eyes and saw that his sorrow was a result of his sin. What did Jesus call him? He said, "Son." Now usually, you don't call people who are older than you, son. That's very disrespectful, and Jesus would never do that. But nonetheless, probably a younger guy was filled with sorrow, but also as we think of someone being called son, we think of a child of God. A child of God comes humbly. This man didn't come up and demand healing, like so many Pentecostals assume that that's what you're supposed to do and we have the right to do. No. He just came and was there. He didn't say a word as far as we know. And Jesus knew everything about him. I'm sure he recognized that. Or they wouldn't have gone through all the trouble that they did. Those four guys that helped him to break up the roof and lower him down there. And that's another sermon in and of itself. But what did Jesus say? He saw their faith. Seeing their faith. Not just the man that had the palsy, but also those four others. Willing to help. James is talking about helping others. There's a great example of someone in a literal sense bringing someone to Christ. That's the greatest help you can be to somebody, is to bring them into the presence of Christ in His church, to have them hear the good news or tell them the good news yourself about Jesus Christ. But the heaviest sorrow, because the pardon of sin removes the heaviest sorrow and the greatest burden, that's why Jesus said that thy sins be forgiven thee. And when that happens, good cheer is on its way. I mean, if there isn't any good cheer, you have to question whether they really have their sins forgiven or not. But that's what the way we feel. We feel sorry over our sin before we, and we recognize the sin in ourselves, and of course the sin all over around us, and we live in a world of sorrow. And some people might say, "Well, hey, I don't have pardon and I'm happy." But we're not talking about happy based on what's happening, but we're talking about a fullness of joy. We're talking about a joy that goes beyond the circumstances we might find ourselves in.
Now, some people might say, you know, I got good cheer and I'm a good time this time of year, but what do they need? They need to have that drink. They need to go to that party. They need to dance, and they gotta, you know, do all these other things that they do and play the fool in some kind of way, kind of like what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 6. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. It's very short-lived. It might be quite loud. I guess they're trying to prove to everybody that, oh, I am happy. Well, look, everybody. And they're trying to prove it to everybody else and trying to really prove it to themselves, because they really don't have it. That's not the kind of good cheer that Jesus brings. It is a good cheer that no matter what may be happening to us, our circumstances, or we're being mistreated, or we're being persecuted, that joy, it remains in us. That's the difference. That's the good cheer that Jesus brings to everyone that believes on Him, has faith. Jesus saw their faith. They had faith in Christ. And of course, faith is absolutely necessary in order to experience this good cheer, in order to have the forgiveness of sins, is to receive the gift of faith. We're not really happy until we are pardoned from our sins. And you think about somebody. We've been made free. Think about somebody who's in a prison. And you can fix them, you know, have all the, you know, the nicest furniture in the prison cell, but they're on death row. They're on death row and you know, they're going to die tomorrow. And you can have the nicest furnishings in that cell and have the greatest food available to them. Give them all the money that the world could give. But the guy says, you know, this doesn't make me happy, because I'm going to die tomorrow. I'm confined to this cell, and I'm going to die tomorrow. What good is all that? But if you was to tell that same man that the president has signed your pardon and you can go free, he's going to say, I am too happy to eat. Forget about the food. I'm just glad I'm free. And that's what happens to us as God's people. We are free. Christ has set us free. We've been forgiven of our sins. And so therefore we can be of good cheer. We think about all the troubles that happen in this life, whether we're talking about sickness or whether we're talking about financial problems, we can know that Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven thee. We can be of good cheer because our sins are forgiven. And whether it's getting older, or whether we don't feel good outwardly, physically, my sins are forgiven me. I can be of good cheer. That is, again, the most critical step as we think of being of good cheer. Now, the second passage that we want to look at is found in Matthew 14, which is the text that I used. And there's another passage as well. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now,
Now that the main obstacle of sorrow, that is our sin, is removed, we still have to be reminded that Jesus is with us. And that is the source of joy and good cheer for us. When we realize that in times of trouble, in the times of the storm, that's our second point. Be of good cheer in the storm. Now, storms don't have anything to do with people, do they? I mean, people can't cause a thunderstorm or a cyclone or a typhoon or anything like that. The point is this, that when it comes to difficulties along the way and the storms of life and the storm that the disciples were involved in, in a natural, supernatural disasters we may experience that are not connected with people at all, we can be of good cheer. We may have a sickness. We may suffer the effects of a floods or flames or a drought or a famine or death or any other number of calamities, but we can be of good cheer because we know the one who controls the winds and the waves. He's the one in control of all of that. He calls the winds to come and go as He pleases. We find there, if we look at the Matthew chapter 14, verse 26, they were troubled because they thought it was a spirit. You know what happens when you get troubled and you get fearful and you get sorrowful? What happens is your imagination runs wild, doesn't it? And you start thinking the worst is going to happen. And this, we have that same case in point here with the disciples here. And when we are in those situations, we are being tempted to doubt. That's what happens. We doubt. Our doubts and fears go together. And cheers are not involved with that. If we want to have good cheer, we need to have faith. A properly informed faith. We find that that it says there, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You know, that's amazing. That Jesus' voice was so loud and so majestic that it rose above all the winds and the waves. And they could hear Him. It penetrates through all the difficulties of life that we may go through. The Word of Jesus Christ is that powerful, is that effectual, that in the midst of the storms, He comes through for us with a word in season, a word of good cheer. Now notice Peter. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. Now, boy, I tell you, it seems like Peter was of good cheer pretty quick. But there's only one little problem. Is that little word, if. If. There was just a little lack of faith there. And so he got himself in a position when we have a lack of faith in Christ. We don't have as clear a vision. We're not focused on Christ. We get ourselves in trouble, which we find right here in the next two verses in Matthew 14, verse 29. It said, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Where was his focus? His focus was on his surroundings. You know, we get in those kinds of situations, and we have a tendency to focus too much on the surroundings, and we take our focus off of Christ.
We're not looking to the author and finisher of our faith. And so what did Peter have? He had doubts and fears. And so he could not be of good cheer, as we can see here. And what does Jesus do? Does he scold Peter right then and there? No. We find there in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? First he got him, and then he reproved him. He delivered him, and then he reproved him of his lack of faith. We see that in Matthew 14, in verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So it doesn't matter whether we're in the storm or whether everything's calm and going well. Jesus is in control. He calms the storm, if you will, that's within us. And then we find there in the next verse, when they that were in the ship came and worshipped. Let me say that again. When they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. It's no wonder that they worshipped Christ because of what he did. And when we bow before our Lord, worshiping him in his presence, fear, don't be afraid. It is I. I'm here. When we're in Christ's presence and we worship Him by faith, we cannot help but be of good cheer. And if we're not, something's not right. And eventually we've got to come to that point that we are of good cheer. So we're to be of good cheer in salvation. We're to be of good cheer in the storm. But also, we find another passage that talks about being of good cheer there in John chapter 16 and verse 33. Different situation. These things I have spoken to you that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Being of good cheer in tribulation. At first I was dealing with salvation and our own problem within ourselves of sin. The second thing was things outside of ourselves, these natural or supernatural disasters that might come don't have anything to do with people. We can be of good cheer in the midst of that. But now we have one where we're talking about the world. We're talking about dealing with people. And dealing with people can be a sorrowful thing. And so, but Jesus said, hey, be of good cheer. It doesn't matter. If you're a sinner and you need salvation, or you're going through something that is horrific because of these disasters that are coming, catastrophes are coming, that is not caused by anybody, but it's happened to us for one reason or another. You can be of good cheer, but also when you have people that persecute you, that cause tribulation in your life, you can have good cheer. You know, as believers, we're in two places. We are in the world, and we're in Christ. Our life is hid with Christ in God. We have everlasting life. We have an incorruptible life through Him. And it doesn't matter what the world does, they cannot take that away from us. The world would love to take away our salvation, would love to be able to take away our joy, but it can't happen because Jesus won't let it happen. We look at the world and we see about how that more and more and more we're seeing tribulation and we're seeing the world being against us. And it's becoming more and more evident and more public, and more obvious. They don't try to sneak around too much about it. We see that there is, the ungodly, they don't care if you're carrying a burden. They're not going to say, wow, you're carrying that burden. You're doing a pretty good job of carrying that burden. You got a smile on your face and everything in spite of everything that's going on. What are they going to do? They're going to put some more burdens on you. They don't care. We have, times in which people would try to say lies about us and try to say things that are not true. They suppose things and try to read your minds. They don't know what's going on, but they just want to lie about you because they hate you, because they hate Christ in you. It's the nature of the wicked to hate the righteous. It's just like it's the nature of a wolf to hate and to rage against the sheep. The Egyptian oppresses the Israelite. It was just a natural thing. And we even find in this world, sad to say, that a man's foes may even be of his own household. Are you talking about something cuts deeper than anything else that ever cut you? But Jesus says, even in that, be of good cheer. You can be of good cheer in spite of all that. And sometimes it's kind of subtle. Sometimes the world hates you in a kind of a sneaky way. Kind of like Judas's kiss. They flatter you. They say good things. Or maybe to your face, but they say bad things behind your back. They try to hurt you behind the scenes. That's the kind of world we live in. But still and yet, even if those things happen, we can be of good cheer because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. We're more than conquerors, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, through Christ who loved us. More than conquerors. And you think about all the ways in which the world has sought to take away the joy and to express their hatred toward God's children. You think about our Baptist forefathers who were, tied to the stake and burned at the stake, and they were tortured and humiliated, and their livelihood was taken away. All these things the world was doing against them. But when we read of them as they were tied to those stakes and as they were being tortured in the torture chambers, they were singing God's praises. Even Paul and Silas, when they were there in the prison, and these prisons and these dungeons back in those days were no pretty place. They were what? Singing praises. How could they do that? Because they had Jesus. That's all. They had Jesus' forgiveness. They had Jesus' promise. Remember Paul. Paul was reminded of this. He was concerned. Remember when we went through the book of Acts and the kind of the courts and everything, it didn't seem like Paul was ever going to get to Rome. What did the Lord say to him? The risen Lord said, Paul, be of good cheer. You're going to witness to me there in Rome. That is something that's said over and over again. Matter of fact, Paul says that. Remember they were shipwrecked that time? What did he tell the people? Be of good cheer. It's something that ought to be part of our vocabulary and to remind us in our minds that we are to be of good cheer. I don't think Paul was necessarily somebody who had a joyous personality. You know what I mean? Some people were kind of more given that way than others. I mean, he went around imprisoning, and I guess his joy was expressing hatred back then. But when Jesus came into his life, he was a different person. And matter of fact, he wrote there in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always through Christ. And then John says there in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jesus has overcome the world. And the reason that we can rejoice and be of good cheer is because Jesus overcame the world. We also, who are in Christ, overcome the world. And so therefore we can be of good cheer, even in the midst of persecution and opposition. And Paul said this, or actually he recognized, I'm sure, this, of what is written in John chapter 16, verse 22. Last part of that verse says, your joy no man taketh from you. The world can't take it. That's the kind of joy he gives. He's not one who gives you gifts and then says, never mind, I changed my mind. I'm gonna... The beauty about this kind of gift is that it is not just good cheer for a short period of time. It's good cheer all the time. It can never be taken away. Like I said, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. He sang there in a dungeon, as I mentioned before. But sad to say, there are some people who just love misery. They're doing the same sinful thing and wonder why they're getting the same miserable results time after time after time. It's like they're a glutton for punishment, it seems. And what's worse, they're going to really show themselves to be a glutton for punishment if they continue in their sins and they're punished forever and ever in a flames of hell. That will not be a place of good cheer. I can guarantee you. I don't want that for you. But that's what awaits you if you don't believe on the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who is the only one qualified and able to forgive your sins, which is a source of your lack of good cheer. You know, if you don't feel good, you know, if you're not of good cheer, you don't feel so great. When you don't feel good and you keep on not feeling good and you try to go to the doctor, that's what you typically do. You just keep on getting, you know, the words, nothing is working of home remedies and so on. And say, well, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor because I'm not feeling well. I'm not of good cheer. We're not really of good cheer, physically speaking, when we're not feeling well. So we go to the doctor, and the doctor gives us some things that we need to take and so on and so forth, and it doesn't work. We're still, matter of fact, it's not only does it work, but we're getting worse. Kind of reminds me, remember the woman that had the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5? And she went to the physician, spent all of her money on the physicians, and she didn't get any better. She just got worse. But you know what? She heard about Jesus, is what that passage says. She heard, faith cometh by hearing, doesn't it? She heard about Jesus. And she just had to get to Jesus. And when she got to Jesus, she got the healing and the good cheer that she needed. Because she cannot have the good cheer unless she got that forgiveness of sins and restoration. You know, but Jesus is like that. You know, a lot of people, they don't feel good, and they go to the world's physicians, and they get, you know, some kind of medications. And they keep on trying to take these medications and do what the world says, and they're not getting any better. And they try other forms of escapism to try to forget about their problems.
But eventually, reality sets in, and they got to get back to normal life. And they can't find a solution. They hear about Jesus. But the first thing they hear, if it's a proper gospel presentation, is that first word that Jesus said there in Mark 1:15, repent. What? Well, think about this. When you go to a doctor, what do? A lot of times they give you some nasty tasting medicine you got to take. You sometimes have to have a shot. And sometimes even you got to have surgery where they cut on you and cut you open, make you bleed, and all these kinds of things. That's very unpleasant to the flesh, isn't it? But why do we do it? Because we have confidence in that physician who says that when he does this, he's going to make us better. And we're going to be of good cheer, of course, as a result of being better, feeling better. The same holds true with Jesus. When he says, repent, we must take that medicine, if you will. We must come to grips with that. We must swallow it and do what Jesus says. We got to, you know, you can't expect to get better. I'm talking about a reputable physician, a reputable doctor. You can't expect to get better if we don't follow the doctor's orders. And the same holds true by Jesus. He's the great physician. He never misdiagnoses. He never ever fails in whatever procedure that he does to remedy the problem. He's always successful. And the thing is even greater than that, he not only gives good cheer, but he gives good cheer without the bad effects. It's only good effects, and not only that, they're eternal. You know, when you get surgery, or you get a shot, or you take the medicine, we're going to die anyway, sooner or later. Not true with Jesus. We have everlasting life. That is something to be of good cheer about. And, you know, the thing is that's interesting is that we must get to that first point, though. We must repent. A person must repent, which means that that person needs to recognize that they're sick. You know, they don't need a physician unless they realize they're sick. They have to realize that we're sick. We have a sin problem. And we need to turn away from it. You cannot obey the doctor's orders and keep going the opposite way of what the doctor says. And so we must turn around from our sin, the source of our problem, and turn toward the great physician, begin following his orders. And the first thing is that we repent of our sins, and then we're in the position. It's not done yet. You know, the medicine a lot of times doesn't happen just like that. Surgeries, you got a time of recovery, right? Well, we repent, and then it's, Jesus says, believe the gospel. We've got to first take the medicine of repentance. And when we take the medicine of repentance that the great physician prescribed for us, then we're on the way of being of good cheer, of having our sins forgiven. So it's repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel. Trust in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Totally rely on Jesus to take away your sins. And then we can enjoy the benefits of being of good cheer because our sins are forgiven. And because our sins are forgiven if we repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures is a miracle in and of itself, that He fulfilled that, then we can be of good cheer in all the catastrophes that may come about in our lives, and then we can be of good cheer in the midst of a world that hates us.
You know, the thing about the world is, well, I'm in the world, so nobody's going to hate me. Guess what? The world hates its own even.
They bite and devour each other. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be on Jesus' side because He's overcome the world. One day this world's going to be done for forever. Jesus is always going to be here for us.
Amen.
So I encourage you to be of good cheer. Don't allow the world or circumstances or your sins stand in the way. Look to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God bless you.